Welcome to the Overrated Experience Sports and Sports Betting Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Blondin. We're here in Season 2, Episode 47, and it's that time of the year, right? It is that time of the year. Ooh, the madness, ooh, yeah. The Macho Man. I can do a better impression. I just feel like I'm going to be talking too loud, but you know what it is. It is probably the second biggest event in sports beyond the Super Bowl and the NFL, and that is the first week of the NCAA tournament that is taking place technically tonight, kicking off with two in-play games, tomorrow with two in-play games. But the big tourney begins on Thursday. 64 teams at that point. All nonstop basketball, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I haven't had a chance to experience it, but I heard Vegas is absolutely lit up during the first 2 days and the first weekend, actually, of March Madness. Oh, yeah. Going to Vegas during March Madness, that might be a little fun for us folks out there. I'd love to put a few coins on the action. And I'm going to take you through my bracket. And I got to imagine anybody listening to this podcast is in a bracket of some sort. Now, I find it funny. It's so weird that you could put a free bracket out there, a bracket that is a small buy-in, but people are so freaked out about the number of teams and the enormous size of this tournament, and because they don't watch college basketball, that they get freaked out that they can't touch it. They can't get in a pool because they feel that there's some overwhelming barrier stopping them from just joining the fun, just jumping in the pool, you know, taking a dip. You know, how many people have you noticed over the years, for the most part, have taken away the money, taken the money or won the bracket, that are necessarily hardcore basketball and much less college basketball fans? Not many. Okay. So I just always scratch my head like, okay, sure. If you don't want the pressure of not joining this March Madness pool so that, you know, you can make the month of March into April a little more fun competing against a few people, I get it. But yet I don't. So it's interesting that people shy away, but nevertheless, you probably didn't. You probably got into some sort of bracket, and the odds are astronomical that you would actually hit a perfect bracket, outright impossible. But I wish you the best. I wish you to cash in, and I'm going to do the same thing. I haven't made my selections in the bracket that I've done yet. I'm going to zip through them, and I'm not going to lie either that I have not as been close to college basketball this year. With all the other sports that are going on, you know, we had the podcast 2 weeks ago with UFC 299 that required a lot of time to look at the main card, not even the full card, to get a better idea to bring to the podcast some plays on the betting side of things. Last week, we were talking NHL trade deadline along with NFL free agency and some of the significant moves there. And this week, because it's Tuesday and we're just a few days before March Madness, we're going to walk through my basketball bracket. Are you going to hear my plays, and I'm going to zip through them, and I may or may not have some insight, which I don't, and you're just going to follow along and see if I'm talking out of my ass or I know what I'm talking about. So let's get going, but we're going to kick it off with a few items in the sports world, one being the big news in the NFL. The Pittsburgh Steelers have done it again. They've stolen the spotlight. They have made a trade for Justin Fields, another quarterback, already signing Russ Wilson to a one-year deal. Now they've traded for Justin Fields from the Chicago Bears, which 1,000% solidifies that the Bears are going to choose Caleb Williamson out of USC as the first overall pick, which is the right play, by the way. And Justin Fields goes to Pittsburgh. On the surface, it looks like he's the backup. But I'm going to give you the Kyle opinion here, the real opinion, what I see happening. When Russ, I'm going to still call him Russ, I'm not going to go Russell anymore. When Russ Wilson went to the Denver Broncos, my first initial thought was that things are going to go well for him. He needed a scenery change. He needed a fresh start. It looked like Denver was that fresh start, and I thought he had big things in line for him with the Broncos, a kind of that second breath to his career. Very quickly, you could tell that this ship was going down. The Russ Wilson phenomenon, the balloon, the hype, let's ride, was going nowhere. And I jumped off that bandwagon fast. You know, from thinking that he might be an MVP choice hitting the Broncos to no, he's not. And coming into a new season where Sean Payton had taken over the Broncos, you heard on the podcast that I couldn't think of a way that Sean Payton would, unless there was like above, not just average success, but above average performance from Russell Wilson, that Sean Payton was not going down with that ship. There's no way he walked in as an in-demand head coach in the NFL and didn't already have that asterisk in his contract that he has final say over personnel, including Russell Wilson, and taking a huge dead cap if it took that to get rid of him, to bring in his own quarterback and bring in his own program and to do a major facelift when he's seen fit. And that's what was predicted here on this podcast, and that is exactly what happened. The Pittsburgh Steelers may be the only program where he may go with the weapons they have and the program that they have and the defense they have could also win ball games where he may be decent. But I still think the stock is low on Russell Wilson, and that by week 5, week 6, at least by their bye week, whenever that may be, they were going to see Justin Fields in there as their starting quarterback. I heard a rumor, or at least a tweet, or an X, that contract extension talks to Russell Wilson were going to, or were promised to him at the end of this season coming up, because he signed a one-year deal, like $1.2 million, because he's getting a boatload of money from Denver, and there's no reason why Pittsburgh had to pay this amount or commit years to him. But I look back at, isn't that what happened to Kenny Pickett? He was promised to be able to compete coming into the training camp. Well, that didn't happen. Immediately, as soon as they picked up Russi here, that he was told that Russell Wilson's going to get the ball. And Kenny Pickett's now in Philadelphia. Does Russ Wilson really think that the Pittsburgh Steelers are ready to make that commitment and just hold off till the end of the year? Well, you got major disappointment coming up, Russi, because that's not going to happen. As soon as they bench you, or as soon as you can't go, which you won't because you're sluggish, you're not the same guy as you were, Justin Fields will be running the show. They're going to make sure that they give him enough reps so they can make that decision coming out of his rookie contract. Are they going to give him a long-term money? They can franchise him. They can do whatever they want. They have a lot more flexibility with Justin Fields to make a decision. And you're just the backup plan, buddy. You're just the backup plan, the what-if just in case. Because you came cheap. There's no way if you were in the free agency market, you were going to get Kirk Cousins money, especially from the Steelers. You were on the cheap. Everything's looking bright right now. I like the guy. It's not even like I don't like him, but I don't get the hype. He's done. Everything is showing us that it's over. His time is over. And you're going to see Justin Fields get a shot in Pittsburgh while Russell Wilson's on the bench. So that's my take on that NFL signing. You can lock that in. You can lock that in. Well, whew. Some other news and notes. The baseball season is about to kick off. Dodgers and Padres are in South Korea. They're actually going to kick off tomorrow at 6 a.m., I believe, a two-game series. Not really into it just yet in the baseball side of things. We'll kick it off, and that will be the focal point in the summer as we look at the podcast and some of the matchups on a daily basis. If you love baseball, and if you don't love baseball, but you love betting, baseball is on every day. Every day. Which is awesome for you guys who can handle constant betting on a daily basis. That's a great sign there. Also, on the NHL front, playoff races are happening. The season's winding down. We'll shut down in mid-April, and then we'll head into the playoffs at that point. Some of the key races, just some teams that stood out to me were the Detroit Red Wings. They were on a 7-game slide, it was, heading into the weekend. They squeak out a victory against the Buffalo Sabres, who are actually running high and have stuck around in the playoff hunt on Saturday. And, you know, Detroit getting that big win, they squeaked it out. But that should have been the turning point. But on Sunday, they came out flat. The Pittsburgh Penguins rolled them. They destroyed them. And really, really, it was a nut punch, because that was an awful performance by the Detroit Red Wings, that they're fading fast. So that's an eye-opener there on the NHL front from one of the playoff races that are getting to the end. No EPL action this weekend, as the every so often the European League stop, most of the World League stop for international break. There's a lot of international friendlies this week. You'll notice the MLS is going to continue to go a full slate of games. They'll play without those folks that have returned to their national clubs across South America, Europe, and wherever. So they'll keep going strong. You got me betting on it, so that's all good with me. And just on a betting note, and that reminds me about betting, I'm right now using FanDuel. So that's my selection at the moment. We've talked about using multiple books, and that's what we should be doing. But right now, you know, I'm not destroying, you know, my bankroll here. I'm just using one provider. But there's eye-opening things that are happening and things that are changing that are kind of ruining what I think is the ability to actually become good at this thing, and that is betting and sports betting. If you've noticed, the same game parlays, which are very popular, and by the way, are not a good idea if you want long-term success. I know that. You should know that. Every pro knows that. But they're damn exciting, and sometimes I can't stop myself, and that's why I'm not retired. But what I'm noticing are things like the same game parlay, especially in the soccer side, that now, that even though there are multiple options available, let's say, for example, you decide to take over 2.5 goals or 1.5 goals in a game, but you combine it with 6.5, let's say, corner kicks, which will provide a lower payout versus 7.5 corner kicks. But when the same game parlay was created, you were able to take that bet. So I could say the game's going to have 1.5 goals, and I'm going to take over 6.5 corners. This is just a fictitious example, of course. And you make bet $100 and win 50, but they would let that bet go. No more. No way. No how. If you try to do certain combinations in your same game parlay, they are restricting it that these games are not able to parlay with each other. This is an absolute disgrace. So right now, you have a gambler who's already on the low end of winning a bet when they go multiple bets in one same-game parlay or a multi-game parlay. And now you're restricting the choices that can be made. If you've listed the item as a same-game parlay, whether it be 6.5, 7.5, 18 goals, under 18 goals, why are you restricting the mixing and matching that goes on in that same game parlay? Absolute disgust. And also in FanDuel, many times as you select the item you want to go with, whether it be over, under, how many yellows or whatever, you'll notice the odds immediately change as you press the selection. And then when you unselect the selection, it goes back to the odds you originally seen. What is going on? What is going on? And you know, I do challenge you to do this. Online, there's many options to find calculators where you can punch in a parlay calculator, so that it will give you the true odds on, you know, the minus 158 and the plus, you know, matched up with the minus 267. I'm just making up numbers here. What, putting $100, that should truly pay out. Don't let the same game parlay or the parlays on these FanDuels and DraftKings fool you. They are not giving you the true value for that parlay. They're ripping us off. Frankly, ripping us off. So watch it. Be careful. And be like me. Don't be like me, actually. Is that we need to stick to more single game parlays. Say no. Don't gamble for the sake of gambling, because they are cutting corners. It's almost like if you ever went to the casino and if you've constantly played, let's say, roulette, more and more roulette tables are adding a third, what is it? A third zero, like a double zero, a third, like there's always a single zero and there's a double zero. And it just puts that one lower, you know, a significantly lower percentage for you to win. Or at least one more roll where that the house is going to win. You know, these books are trying to squeeze you. We are, you know, the average player out there that doesn't know any better, you're getting taken advantage of, and it's being treated like a scratch ticket lottery game. That's exactly what's happening. You know, this is supposed to be a game of skill where the book is going to win more than they lose, except there's a few people out there that really know what they're doing and will take a profit home and can make a profession of this. But for the average Joe, man, these guys are trying to squeeze every goddamn dime out of you. Most likely you're going to give them all the dimes you have anyway, because you're, you know, even if you win tonight, you're going to piss it all away tomorrow. But no, they got to make it even harder for you to get a bet going. Like, I mean, I'll give you another example. I noticed the FanDuel thought, hey, it was a nice ad. NHL action tonight. I didn't notice, or maybe I'm the only guy that hasn't noticed, but the new wager you could place on is over under if there will be a power play goal during that game or a shorthanded goal. Power play goals are like minus 200 and 300 in the couple games that I checked. I haven't really looked at many of these. Who's going to take that straight up? And I got restricted from putting it and using it as a parlay. Like, this is the kind of shit and crap, same word by the way, just one's nicer than the other, that I'm seeing. Like, this is not good. So watch out, do your research, and don't get caught off guard when the odds are against you. All right, that's my diatribe here. We're going to go through the bracket for March Madness. Ooh, yeah. That's the worst. I had done way better Macho Man impressions than that. Because if you know Macho Man, Randy Savage, WWE, WCW, he was madness, like the Macho Man, right? So we're going to kick it off. Now, I've been using Yahoo. I have not been impressed with their app, especially trying to set up, you know, with buddies to try to do a bracket. I find the Yahoo app, fantasy app, and I don't know if this is recent, because I've used it for years, has been very challenging to navigate, to bounce back and forth, to quickly get to where I need to go to do my commissioner duties, to send links out, and or find where I could even set the goddamn bracket up, you know, to a brand new bracket. I found very, very challenging because they got all the crap on there to join their, you know, bracket challenges, etc. So, man, Yahoo's gone downhill. Maybe I won't use them next year. But I'm using them this year. And here we go. I'm going to zip through these brackets pretty damn quick. So on the Eastern side of the bracket, we got 16 teams out of the East. Number one being Connecticut against Stetson. What do you think is going to happen here? Let's not even think about Connecticut. UConn. Florida Atlantic. This is where it gets tricky. 8-9 seeds. Florida Atlantic being the 8th seed. Northwestern being the 9th seed. Ooh, let's take a look at the betting lines here first before I go a little too wild and, you know, get caught up on just guessing here. So the Thursday, okay, I'm not going to do that. It's going to take way too long. So Florida Atlantic and Northwestern. I'm going to go with Northwestern. San Diego State University, UAB. I'm going to go with San Diego State University. Auburn, Yale. Yale, Ivy League, Yale. Auburn, taking it. BYU, Dukenzie. We'll go with BYU. Illinois, Morehead State. Go Illinois, number three seed. Washington State, Drake. Maybe the best pick I'll ever have. I'm going to go with Drake. I'm going to go with the upset here. Iowa State. South Dakota State, number 15 versus number 2. Iowa State being number 2. I'll hit them up. And as I go further down the eastern bracket, that means I got a matchup with Connecticut, UConn, by the way. Northwestern, go with UConn. It's going to make a run here. San Diego State and Auburn. Let's say Auburn. BYU, Illinois. Let's go with Illinois. And Drake versus Iowa State. Let's go with Iowa State. As we get to down the bracket, we got a hookup between UConn and Auburn. I'm going to say Connecticut's going to the Final Four. UConn is going to go to the Final Four. But we have Illinois, Iowa State. I'm going to go with Illinois. And Connecticut's going to keep on going. Knock off Illinois. Number one, we'll make it through in the Eastern bracket. So far, so good. Great. West, North Carolina against Wagner. North Carolina. Wagner won tonight, by the way. North Carolina takes that one, no problem. Mississippi State against Michigan State. I'm going to go with Tom Izzo. And I'm going to go with Michigan State, number 9, to beat number 8, Mississippi State. We have St. Mary's, number 5, Grand Canyon. I'm going to take St. Mary's, the number 5 seed. Alabama versus Charleston. Alabama's going to take that one. Clemson versus New Mexico. I'm going to call an upset here, take New Mexico. Baylor versus Colgate. I'm going to take Baylor out of Texas. Dayton, Ohio, taking on Nevada. I'm going to take, maybe I'll take Nevada. Nevada, let's gamble. Arizona, number 2 seed, taking on Long Beach State. I'm going to take Arizona. As we go further down the bracket here, North Carolina, Michigan State, big rivalry, but not in this game because number 1, North Carolina is going to knock off Michigan State. St. Mary's, number 5, taking on number 4, Alabama. Going to go with Alabama. And then I go New Mexico, Baylor. Baylor to be in the number 3. I'm going to go Baylor. Arizona, Nevada. I'm going to go Arizona, number 2. As we move further here, number 1 versus number 4. Oh, man, this is pretty easy. Got 1, 2, 3, 4 in this side. It's never going to work out this way, but let's see what happens. I'm going to go with North Carolina. I'm going to go with Arizona over Baylor. But I'm going to take Arizona to take out North Carolina, and they're going to go to the Final Four. So Arizona through the West. And now we got the South. We got South. We got Houston. Mattress Mac. Was it Mattress Mac? Yeah, Mattress Mac. There's a guy out there, a gambler, that has a mattress store. His really name is Mattress Mac. And he's taken millions of dollars on Houston to win the tournament as one of the number one seeds. He does have a promotion with his store, so how it works out. If he doesn't win, he still makes money off the mattresses he sells and even wins, even if Houston does win. There's some sort of guarantee with the store where it works out both ways for him. Let's go with Houston, number 1 seed over Longwood. Longwood, wow. What kind of students you got there? It's a lot of pressure for the guys. Anyway, Nebraska, Texas A&M. Texas A&M, number 9 over number 8, Nebraska. Wisconsin over James Madison. Number 5 beats number 12. Duke over Vermont, number 4, takes out number 13. Texas Tech, number 6. North Carolina State, I'm going to take North Carolina State, the number 11 seed. Kentucky versus Oakland. I don't think Kentucky is going to make a far run here, but it's the number 3 seed. I do see them taking out Oakland. Florida versus the winner of BSU in Colorado, which is happening right now. I'm going to take Florida in that one. Marquette versus Western Kentucky. The number 2 seed is Marquette. We'll take Marquette as we go further down the bracket. I'm going to run with Houston. I'm going to take them over Texas A&M. Wisconsin, number 5 versus number 4, Duke. I'm going to take number 5, Wisconsin. Duke's going to have an early exit. NC State's going to knock off Kentucky. This is the number 11 versus number 3. NC State's going to go on a little bit of a run here. Florida, number 7 over Marquette. I'm going to go with Marquette. Let's go further down the bracket. Houston, Wisconsin, stick with Houston. NC State knocks off Marquette. They go on a run. And Houston, I'm going to say, I'm going to go wild. I'm going to go off the board here. Off the board, I'm going to say NC State makes the Final Four. I have to throw out some wrinkle that we didn't see. There's always a team that makes a run, a Cinderella team. And why not NC State? Purdue in the Midwest. Number 1 versus one of the playing game winners. I'm going to go Purdue. Forget about who. I don't even care who's playing in the game. Playing game. Utah State, number 8, taking on TCU. And we're going to go TCU on that. Gonzaga, number 5 versus McNeese. McNeese. The fuck kind of name is McNeese? Gonzaga, number 5, is going to take that on. Kansas, Samford, number 4, Kansas, traditionally a powerhouse basketball program. Got to take that against South Carolina, number 6, taking on Oregon. I'm going to take Oregon in that one for the upset of South Carolina. Creighton, number 3, over Akron, and that's going to be 7 facing 10, play-in winner. I'm going to take Texas. Tennessee, number 2, taking on number 15, St. Peter's. St. Peter's doesn't have a prayer. Going to go with Tennessee. Purdue walks over TCU. Gonzaga hangs in there, knocks off Kansas. Oregon loses to Creighton. I'll see Texas knocks off Tennessee. I'm going to be an upset there, number 7 over number 2. And we got Purdue versus Gonzaga. And I'm going to say Gonzaga makes a run here, knocks off Purdue. Texas and Creighton, I'm going to say Creighton. And I'm going to see Gonzaga moves on to the Final Four. Now, what do we got here? We got a Final Four matchup. So, out of the East, we got Connecticut, UConn taking on Arizona. NC State taking on Gonzaga. Let's go with Gonzaga. And let's go with UConn. UConn taking on Gonzaga in the final. Let's go with UConn, your champions, with a score of, 78-62. Let's see, 78-62. A little bit of a blowout, taking a chance there. And there's your champions. UConn, once again, national NCAA basketball champions. There you go. You got a lock. You might as well just lock that into a perfect bracket. But that concludes the Overrated Experience NCAA March Madness. Ooh, yeah. Tournament bracket picking. Now, you can follow the Overrated Experience on X at Overrated EXPER2. That's Overrated EXPER2. And also on Facebook and Instagram, Overrated Experience. Appreciate the support for those who have been following across the world, not just the local area, across the world. Thank you very much. Get us up on, follow us on, like I said, X, and let us know that you're following us and that you're a listener of the Overrated Experience. All the support is appreciated. We'll keep it short today, but the pleasure, of course, has all been yours. The Overrated Experience is over, and it's out. Bye-bye.